This morning's responsive read from God's Word comes from Proverbs chapter 28, verses 1 to 14. So if you have a Bible, we would invite you to join us as we look at this portion of Scripture. I believe in the most recent readings that we've done, like in Proverbs 27, I believe we made a title to some effect of interpersonal relationships. And I think we see that carried on again here in Proverbs 28. So that will be the theme that will carry on when this is uploaded onto the church's website. In these first 14 verses, what I think we see is this constant contrast in our relationships one with another, or with ourselves and the people and the world that is around us. Notice how it starts right off the gate. Verse 1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Now let me see if I understand this, and maybe you can help me. The wicked, so that is in contrast, Hebrew parallelism, if we use that approach. Wicked is being contrasted with the righteous. So would you agree? The wicked versus the righteous. So when we look at the wicked person here, we're looking at someone who's not saved, is not a God lover, and doesn't believe and is not trusting in Christ. He flees whatever situation when no man is even pursuing him. So we're looking at a person who is basically a coward. He has no fight in him or her. Okay, he doesn't want to get involved. He doesn't want to roll up his sleeve and get to the work. The wicked flees when there's no one even running after him. That's how I read that. But the righteous are bold as a lion. So what does that say? To me, it says that the person who is saved, the one who is righteous, the one who's in Christ, the one who's been born again. And we have to use all these terms and these definitions because Christianity has become so blurred whereby there's no distinction at times between the world and the church. At one time, the church had a position of high moral ground where she would speak and the culture would at least listen. Today, the church squeaks like a mouse, and the world pays no heed and no mind to what the church says, because we have lost that moral high ground over time, and we have lost that ground by doing it to ourselves and to the culture and some of the teaching that is being propagated today under the guise of being Christian. But a righteous person is always bold, bold as a lion, whether he's being pursued or not. And so when it comes to our relationships, it would seem us versus the world. We ought to be ready, like Peter says. I believe I'm going to bring Peter into the mix. When Peter says that we should always be ready to give an answer, to give an account or an apologia, to give a defense on what we believe and why, we should be bold enough and prepared enough and ready enough to give an answer. The wicked here has nothing to offer, so he flees from the controversy. The Christian is willing to jump into the fray. As we saw last week, the Bible uses the Christian in military terms. We're in a good fight. We're in this warfare. Well, beloved, we don't use sticks and bats and whatever. Our weapon is the Word of God. That's our sword, both offensively and defensively. What else do we see? Consider verse 4. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. And my word, what do we see today in our culture? Evil seems to be triumphing. Evil seems to be front and center. But such as keep the law contend with them. Again, those of us who do keep the law, those of us who do keep and honor the word of God, we're to be in contention with them. Okay? They that forsake the law, those who have no mind to obey God, those who trample upon the word, what did they do in that vacuum that they create? Well, they're going to simply praise the wicked, those who are like them, those of the same mind, the same mindset, the same worldview. They're going to boast them up, while at the same time looking upon us as out to lunch. Verse 5, evil men understand not judgment. What do you see going on today? Do you realize that there are many today on the left and some on the right who are now acquiring that mindset? There are people today who have who are now creating a world that doesn't really exist. They're fabricating a world of their liking. Today, there are some people, they don't know whether they're male or female. We have what? Several dozen gender identification labels. It's a make-believe world. A world that is being fabricated in man's evil, wicked imagination. It's a world with no reality. It's make-believe. And what do we see? Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Those of us who are attuned to Scripture, we know what a man is and what a woman is. We know what a family is and what it's not. Okay? We know what is right and what is wrong. The world that the Democrats and the left and the progressives and the rhinos are trying to fabricate is a world of their own creation. It's a make-believe world. And here's the sad part about it. Eventually, that ideology and that world is going to crumble upon themselves. It's going to crash because it's not going to be able to sustain itself. Look at verse 6. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness. It's best to be physically and maybe economically poor, but you are saved and you walk in uprightness, than he that is perverse in his way, though he be rich. Now, I'm not advocating that if you're a Christian, you go out there and sell everything and you live in a cardboard box on some street corner. I'm not advocating that. But here, it's showing a contrast between that which is better versus that which is worse. And it's better to be poor in this world's toys and treasures and trinkets, but to be right with God, versus to have all the wealth at one's disposal and be heading for hell and not know it. Look at verses 7. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son. So again, how does Proverbs begin in those opening 10 chapters? With a king talking to his son, who is going to be the next king. But then there are times when the king is talking to all of his children, giving them instruction and wisdom to prepare them for the life that is yet before them. And what do we find here? Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son. So notice, the book of Proverbs doesn't lose its connection between parental guidance and parental instruction upon a child. But he that is a companion of riotous men, the son or the daughter that hangs around with the wrong crowd, will eventually bring shame to his father and a painful heart eventually to the one who bore him, his mother. Notice verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. So the person who thinks that a little bit of religion, a little bit of splash and dash with a little ceremony, a little ritual, certain church rites and whatever, go on a few pilgrimages, kiss a few bones of some relic, and pray on beads, light a candle, burn some incense, confess your faults to some guy in a box. Somehow, if you do all that, everything's going to be hunky-dory. No, it's not. Even that prayer uttered by that man is an abomination. Verse 10, whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit. We use the same expression today. You're going to fall into your own hole. The same hole that you're digging, you're going to fall in yourself. But the upright shall have good things in possession. So do you see this carryover from maybe chapter 27, this interrelationship, one-on-one, okay, parent to child, child to parent, person to the world around him or her. And then notice verse 13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Now this is a pretty good verse for carnal Christian heresy. Those who believe you can be saved and there's no change to your behavior, no change in your direction. You can skip church, you can skip Bible reading, you can do all those, take all those Christian disciplines and throw them out the window and still get to heaven. But notice, you have to confess it and then you have to forsake it. And then you're going to have mercy. So it's one thing to confess it, which we ought to. The challenge is, are you able to lay it aside? And that's the challenge. Happy is the man that feareth alway. We have people today, why should I fear God? I'm supposed to love him and have sweet and precious and warm thoughts about him. Well, that's true. You're supposed to love the Lord. But also there's to be that reverential, godly fear of who and what he is. But he that hardeneth his heart. So again, if we use Hebrew parallelism, we're going to have some help in the definition. What does it mean to fear God? Well, if we look at the opposite, we get some understanding. Hardening one's heart shall fall into mischief. So if I keep my heart soft and tender towards God and the things of God, that will enable me to have that healthy, reverential, and godly fear. So, notice how Hebrew parallelism helps us to understand and to define our terms. Well, may the Lord choose to bless his word. Amen.